B4CBA. How are you doing this morning, pal?
Well, Dave, I hope you're doing the same. I just finished reading the paper here and doing a few dishes and getting ready to go work on a dehumidifier. But it's going to be short-lived if it's very hard to get apart.
I have several different size hammers if a screwdriver fails.
But getting things apart, I'm just not so good at getting them back together. So I'm going to have Bernice watch, and she's the farmer.
If I can take it apart, I usually can put it back together. Now if you hand me a pile of parts and say put this together, I might struggle if I've never done that before, that particular item before. But anyway, I would imagine there's a whole lot to it. Anyway, good luck with it.
I was thinking, there was a question I had yesterday for XHS, I think it is. Somebody on it, David, is a HVAC guy, but I haven't talked to him in a while. I think that's the gentleman with that call. But, if it isn't the circuit board, it'll be probably the capacitor. And it could be a current or a potential relay, but I doubt if they even use those anymore. It's just a simple system. It was on the same circuit as the upright freezer in the basement, and I'd noticed a couple of times the breaker had kicked on the freezer, and I didn't want to lose a load of groceries out of that freezer, you know. So I didn't know they were both on the same circuit. I kind of did and I kind of didn't. But anyways, I hurried up and dropped another receptacle in and isolated the freezer to itself, and I reached over and kicked the circuit breaker on, and it popped. And that was the circuit breaker with the dehumidifier on it, so that kind of isolated which one was kicking the breaker. I will go down and take a quick look at it, and if I can't figure it out real quick, like I said, it's probably a starting capacitor, but I was looking for the condenser on the upright freezer, and like a refrigerator, which I call an icebox, they used to be on the back, but now they're underneath and are forced convection with a fan. But I couldn't find the condenser on that silly thing, and it's just a simple capillary tube type unit. And then I took a amp reading on it, and it was only reading 1.12 amps. My analog meter wouldn't even read it, yet it said full load amps was 5 amps. Well, it's a high efficiency unit, so I presume that's normal because it's below zero. So I was glad to see that. It takes a lot less amps than I thought. But I thought maybe there was a fan under there running at 1.12 amps and the compressor hadn't started, but that turned out not to be true. But I just wonder where they hide that condenser. It's got to be there. Anyways, just interesting things. And, you know, these manuals nowadays they give you with an appliance is like nothing, and there's never a schematic like the old days.
Why would they put a schematic? Because, probably 90% of them probably can't read it anyway, so you look at that and go, what's this? It's like a jigsaw puzzle or something. But anyway, well, I noticed they moved the refrigerators, they moved the condenser down to the underneath there, and it's kind of, I don't know what the word is, but it's like several different layers of it folded together, and they used to just run it all up the back of the refrigerator. Seems like it would be more efficient on the back, you know, being stuffed under the fridge there and up against the floor and getting all that dust on it. Golly, Dave, if you've ever looked under a refrigerator, it's been sitting for, you know, the same place for a good many years. There's so much dust under there, you can't even see the condenser.
This is NZTR. Yes, Dave, and when the condenser's dirty, it's just like your outside condenser on your HVAC unit. It renders it very, very inefficient, and it's costing you money. And there's no indication when those fans go out. They used to have a 4-watt fan, typically General Electric or something like that, and they don't even use those anymore. They're plasticized little bitty sheeted pole motors, or permanent magnet motors nowadays probably. But those condensers get filthy underneath there. We used to have one in Kansas, and if you didn't clean that out at least once a year, sometimes sooner, everything could start working inefficiently. And they should have something that would tell you nowadays with the microprocessors that there's been a condenser fan failure and or a compressor failure. It'd be very easily done with the logic of nowadays, but it's a throwaway society, Dave. That's the problem.
I can remember back in the 70s, this guy was working on our ice maker, and he said, yeah, they used to put metal gears in these things, but they started putting plastic gears in them because they weren't having any problems with them, and so they put the plastic gears in so they'd tear up so we'd have something to fix. I don't know if he was joking or not, but, I mean, you know, plastic, metal, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out which one's going to wear out quicker, so I don't know. There might have been a little truth in what he was saying. Who knows? But it's interesting anyway. Well, so what else you got on the burner today?
Buy a new one if that one don't work. The basement, I like to keep that running down there. It keeps that musty smell from ever getting musty. And, yes, that engineering concept that you're talking about with the plasticized gear is called planned obsolescence. There's your tip of the day. And I remember back when I had my water buffalo that they come out with Nylock sprockets because that water buffalo had a lot of torque, and it would eat sprockets and chains. And so I finally switched it over to number 60 chain, which was readily available at General Machinery. I could just go up there and buy a new chain and put on it rather than go to the motorcycle shop and pay triple the price. And that worked out well, but I never did try one of them nylon sprockets. I'm like you. The plastics evolution hadn't evolved that far back then.
For CPA. Well, yeah, I think I've told this story before, but, you know, I remember pulling the front off of a 302 Ford when I was working for the county, and you know, get the water pump off and then get the front cover off and to get the timing chain to replace it because there was so much slop in it, you could turn the crank and the distributor wouldn't even rotor wouldn't even move. You know, you could turn it like 12 degrees, it wouldn't even move. So you knew that timing chain was just flopping around in there. So, and when I got in there, the cam gear, the center of it was metal, but the outer part of it was plastic. And I thought, well, dang. And then when they gave you the new cam gear to put on, it was all metal. So, you know, that's just all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, it just didn't make a whole lot of sense other than, you know, maintenance. I guess they just want something to work on. But anyway, well, I'm at the sports club. I'm going to play some tennis this morning and see if this knee's going to hold out. So say a prayer for me, and because I got a tournament, a league tournament tomorrow. So and these guys do not want to lose. So if my knee goes out, then I'm going to be the you know, the one, you know, pulling the knives out of my back, I guess. But anyway, I will talk to you later. 73s, and I'll stick around for your final KB4CBA.
Great to talk to you this morning and reminisce. The things that really gets me is that they don't ever enforce is that this plastic in these headlights, I see so many of them that have turned opaque, and people don't realize how much the light output has attenuated on their vehicle, and it could readily cost their lives. And Amy, our daughter, is a polymer engineer, and she worked for the Toyota Technical Center up in Ann Arbor for 2 years, and they'd send them out and checking all makes and models of cars in these huge parking lots, and back at Long Beach out there where they were loading cars onto the ships to make sure they were not damaged in any ways. And they would check the lifespan of these different plastics, like the rails on top they put on these SUVs and headlights and stuff like that, and wherever there was plastic. And everybody used to kick the Japanese, but you know what? They had some smarts. They checked that out. They see what was good. They see what was bad. And then they'd make a better unit. So hats off to them for that. Anyways, the 73s, Dave, and have a good time. And hope your knee stays in one piece. KB4CBA and 0TR clear.
Once or twice a mistake of putting it in.
in under the wrong date or something. That can happen. But at any rate, it's one of those things we all forget at times. Well, I just got finished filling my pill boxes for night and day and was getting ready to go downstairs, and I heard you, and I was sitting here listening to Glenn Kimmel, and we have that streaming spectrum thing, and I like to listen to the classic country channel now and then.
When I was a teenager, I had one of his albums. I think it was called Wichita Lineman. That song was on there, and I could sing every song with him on that record. I'd sit there and just play that record both sides and sing every song.
Good one. Unfortunately, he passed here a while back. I think he got Alzheimer's. John Denver was another one of my favorites. I really liked him, and he was doing acrobatics or practicing, and I'm not sure of that, but he had one of those EZs, and I've seen a lot of those up at Oshkosh. They kind of lean way down in the front and up in the back, and he crashed out over the ocean, I think, out there in California.
I heard it was like an experimental aircraft or something, and there was a story went around that he committed suicide and all this stuff, who knows. But anyway, yeah, that was sad because he did have a great talent with his voice, and he was a songwriter. He called that a singer songwriter, and so he had a lot of talent in that area.
This is in Gerald T.R. with the Man on the Mountain there. I really enjoyed his songs. They were pleasant and nice to listen to. And so much better than this heavy metal area. And that's not music. That's random access noise. And this rap stuff now is just screaming and stupidity and it just enrages me. I just, and they call that music. Wrong, it might be, but I'm old-fashioned, redneck, and narrow-minded, and I'm going to stay that way.
Hey, well, you left yourself wide open, but I'm just not going to go there. Oh, man. Well, I'm kind of the same way. I try to think back to the music my parents listened to, and then, the music I listen to, and so it's kind of evolution of music, I guess you'd say. It gets harder and louder for each generation, so I don't know. But I certainly don't have an appreciation for it. But heck, I never had appreciation for opera either. We had to listen to opera and all that mess when I was in college. And but I was real glad to hear my uncle TJ. He got his music degree and taught music at Broward Community College in Fort Lauderdale for 30 years, and taught at Winthrop, and he said he never liked opera either, and I don't feel so bad.
I don't care for opera either, but I don't hate it. I just, the don't like it. It is music, and I love classical, and most all kinds of music, but I don't consider that heavy metal is music, and when I hear it, all I think of is drugs. And if you go back a ways, you'll find most of those guys died of drug overdoses. I got no use for it. But I like some of the pop music back in the days, like Michael Jackson, that, which I despise, but he had some good music, and there were some good Beatles songs even, but that heavy metal and that is just black, man. I mean, it's just dark, and it's not music. But there'd be a lot arguing me. Our kids like the 80s and 90s music. She won't even listen to the country. I mean, none. So, anyways. And Dolly Parton loved that. George Jones and some of the different ones. And when we're out in the car, we listen to 50s. On 5, I think it is, and 60s on 6, and once in a while 70s, and that's the only, oh, we listen to some bluegrass, I enjoy that, and there's a lot of good music. We had a music director who was very, very highly educated in our orchestra there at the university back home in Kansas. But she liked women's contemporary music. And that sounded like a drunken Chinese orchestra when you played it. I mean, there was places where you could play any note you wanted, up and down, run the scales, anything you want, in the middle of these pieces that these women wrote. And it was disgusting, Dave.
Knock yourself out, KB4CBA.
KO4JQX, I just got one quick comment. I'm painting. I got to get back out of here. This is Jeff, Dave. Hey, good morning, everybody. You said your uncle taught at Winthrop. My wife took music appreciation up there. What was his name?
Fall back. I can't remember exactly when, but probably in the 60s, T.J. Cole.
I'm sorry, I heard Cole. What was his first name?
Well, he went by his initials, T.J.
Okay, T.J. Cole. She was a bear after 82, so it might not have been him then. Okay. KO4JQX, 73 guys. I'll catch up with y'all later.
Yeah, I think he was already down in Broward, in Florida then, and I think they went down there in the 70s and kind of found a home down there. They're back up in, I think they live in Arden now or somewhere in that vicinity anyway, and of course they're both retired. They were both teachers.
Okay, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good afternoon.
Have a good day. Jump in there anytime. Oh, Dave. Anyways, enough of my griping. No one pays any attention to me anyways. And I'm too poor to pay attention. Well, I'm going to go downstairs and go to work. You've been holding me up.
Well, I'll quit pointing that gun at your head so you can get to work there.
Politically correct. They're going to be banging on your doors, mentioning that, guns.
You make it sound like I got a gun to your head, making you key the mic.
Why didn't you take that 2 hours and come up here and get that, get that microphone?
Well, I guess that's an idea. But that'd be a negative, Ghost Rider.
are showing your age. Well, I'll leave you with this. 59 degrees, the sun's shining. We have 11 mile an hour peak winds and 5 out of the northeast. Got 57% humidity, I think I said, and the barometer's steady, so it's going to be a cool day, but a good day. So I'm reserving outside work till tomorrow or the next day. The grass is growing good. I over-fertilized it, but it looks beautiful out there. There's still a little bit of brown here and there. Shouldn't wish it to grow fast, because it will. Fescue is good about that. Guess we need to get some goats, Dave. You have a good day, and I'm going to be clear this time. I got to go check that out. KB4CBA and 0TR, 73 Dick.
Hi, Tom. I enjoyed it, and I'm almost home. Enjoy talking with you, and have a good rest of the day. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day. And I'll say 73, Zen 0TR, KB4CBA, mobile, clear.